Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7, we continue in our series going through the parables of Jesus Christ, all the parables that he taught in his earthly ministry, and we're covering them one by one, not in any particular order necessarily, and as the Lord leads, we will cover it. And today, we find ourselves considering the parable of the two builders, and the title of the message this morning is A Tale of Two Builders, A Tale of Two Builders. And I have been blessed already today by how the Lord has led and the principles that were drawn out in Sunday school, and how these principles that we're going to talk about now all tie together and all fit together. There's definitely a theme here that the Lord is presenting to us today for our good. And I pray that your heart is open to the will of God today. Again, the title is A Tale of Two Builders. Let me start by talking about the Leaning Tower of Pisa just for a second. Everybody knows what that is, right? The Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy eventually is going to fall. And it's a big deal among scientists. Scientists travel every year to the town of Pisa to measure that building and its slow demise. And that building is over 800 years old. And each year, scientists are monitoring and measuring its slow descent, and they report that that tower, which is 179 or 180 feet tall, it was built in 1173, it moves about 1/20 of an inch every year. And right now, it's about 17 feet out of plumb. And so it's leaning over pretty good. And eventually, that's going to fall, and they make renovations all the time to that 800-plus-year-old building to try to keep it from collapsing. Quite significantly, the name Pisa means marshy land. And it gives some clue as to why that tower began to lean even before it was finished being built. Also, another issue is the fact that its foundation is only 10 feet deep. For a 180-foot building, its foundation is only 10 foot deep, and it's on marshy land. And these are reasons why the Tower of Pisa is leaning. And the reason is mainly because it's built on a faulty foundation. That thought occurs in our text here this morning. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 24 to 29 as our text. The Bible says, Jesus says here, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." This passage that we've read here today is about two builders who built two houses on two different kinds of foundations and who had two different kinds of results. This tale of two builders that Jesus teaches us here, listen, and what Jesus is teaching is that the foundation upon which we build the house of our lives is of the utmost importance. And I want to point out some elements here of this parable that show us why the foundation of your life matters so much. Matthew, what we have to understand here is that Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7 it has been called, or is, the Sermon on the Mount. All right? And so these three chapters are all taken up by Jesus teaching and what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went up into this mountain and he sat down to teach his disciples. Look at chapter 5 in verse 1. Chapter 5 verse 1 says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," and then begins all of the teaching of Jesus through these three chapters. Now, there are many wonderful truths that are taught by Jesus through these three chapters. We're not going to go and look at them all, but Jesus teaches the Beatitudes in chapter 5. He talks about giving. He teaches them about prayer in Matthew chapter 6. He teaches them what true riches are. He teaches them about trusting in God and the benefit of it. He teaches them how to treat people, the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And he teaches many other wonderful life-building truths. But Jesus finishes that sermon with this parable, Matthew chapter 7. And he talks about a wise builder and a foolish builder. And he teaches this parable, uses this parable, this illustration, to show the difference in listeners. People who hear the words of God. Those who hear and do the words of God are contrasted with those who hear but do not. And Jesus wants to stress the importance of not just being a hearer of the word of God, but also a doer. And the result that it brings if we commit to doing the word of God and the will of God. So Jesus gives all of this teaching in Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew 7, and he ends all of that teaching with this when he says in verse 24, "Whosoever heareth, therefore," whenever you see the word therefore in the scriptures, you always go back to find out what it's there for. Why is it there? Because of all the teaching that Jesus just gave. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," what sayings? All the teaching on how to trust God and what true riches are, and on giving and on prayer and all these life-building truths. "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." What is Jesus teaching here? He's teaching, listen, you're going to build your house, the house of your life. And whosoever builds their life on these sayings, these teachings of mine, you're going to be a wise man, and you're going to build your house on a good foundation, on a rock. And when the storms come and the trials come and the tests come and the rains beat on that house, your house is going to stand. It's not going to fall. But if you hear the words that I'm teaching you and you build your life without these principles, you hear them, but you don't do them, you're a fool. And you're building your life on a faulty foundation. And when the storms come, it's going to fall. And not only is it going to fall, it's going to be a great fall. See, the foundation of your life really matters. And that's what Jesus is illustrating here. The difference in listeners. Those who hear and do versus those who hear and do not. I want you to consider three things this morning. We're going to consider the commonalities. We're going to consider the contrasts. And then we're going to consider the consequences of these two builders, this tale of two builders. First of all, let's consider the commonalities. This short parable appears to speak to two very different types of people. And the two people that Jesus pictures here have some very important characteristics that they have in common. Let me point them out. First of all, in verse 24 and verse 26, we find here that both of these people heard the words of Christ. All right, verse 24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." Verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine." Both of these individuals heard the words of Jesus. Certainly, Jesus is referring to the multitudes of people that came that he was teaching to. And so he stands, or he sits down on this mountain, and he's teaching the multitudes, teaching them these life-building truths. And Jesus is illustrating here that both of these individuals heard the words of Jesus. These two people in this parable both heard Jesus teach and preach truth. And so, in other words, when we apply this to life building, when it comes to building materials for building life, both of them had access to the very same things. You follow that? They heard the words of Jesus. When it comes to building life, they both had access to the very same things. Not only did they have that in common, but they were both building houses. Verse 24 and verse 26. 24 says, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builded his house." Verse 26 says, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house." Both of these people were building houses. They both had access to the same building materials. Understand this, my friend, that every person alive is a builder. You are a builder. I am a builder. We're building a house. We're building a life. But understand this, there is a responsibility of every man regarding his own house. You are responsible for the life that you have, that God has granted to you. You are responsible for the house that you build. Understand that you cannot make it on the coattails of your parents, young people. It doesn't matter what kind of upbringing you've had, you are still responsible for you. It doesn't matter if your dad is a pastor. It does not matter if your dad is a construction worker. It doesn't matter what your parents did or who they are. You are still responsible for you. You can't make it on the coattails of mom and dad. You cannot make it on the coattails of your preacher. You cannot make it on the coattails of the church that you attend. You're responsible for you. Every person alive is a builder. Jesus said, there are wise builders and there are foolish builders. You build your life upon the decisions that you make regarding the truth of God's Word. We can choose to obey it. We can choose to ignore it. We build a life based on the choices we make regarding God's Word. The wise one is a hearer of God's Word and does it, applies it in his life or her life. A fool is one who hears truth, but does it not. Look at James chapter 1 with me. James chapter 1. In James 1 and verse 23, I'll let you get there. James 1:23 says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." So, in other words, what he's saying here is if a person is a hearer of the word of God, but he doesn't do it, it's like a guy who's looking in the mirror. All right? He's beholding his natural face in a glass. He's looking into the mirror. Like when you wake up in the morning, okay, from a sleep. And you look at yourself in the mirror. Okay, so this is, you see the illustration, the comparison here? A person who hears the word of God and is not a doer is like somebody who's looking at themselves in a mirror. Look at the next verse. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." So a person who hears the word of God and doesn't do it is like somebody who's looking at themselves in the mirror. And he beholds himself. In other words, what does the Word of God do? The Word of God is a mirror that shows us who and what we are. It exposes who we are. It exposes our life. It exposes areas of sin and iniquity. It shows us who we really are. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even through the dividing asunder, the separating of soul and spirit." We talked about this verse in our family devotions the other night. And is explaining to the girls how a soul and a spirit, it is inseparable. You can't part them. The only thing that separates them is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And why does it do it? To expose and to show who and what we are. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a person's heart. The things that nobody knows, the things that nobody sees, the Word of God exposes it. The Word of God is a mirror that shows us who and what we are. So it's illustrated for us of a person who's looking at themselves, their natural face in a glass, and he beholds himself of what manner of man he is. So like in the morning, you know, when you've slept all night long and you got bedhead, and ladies didn't take their makeup off the night before and it's smeared, they got the raccoon eyes and it's like smeared all over the place. You look like Alice Cooper. That references some of you don't have any idea what that is or who that is. Go look it up sometime. You'd be like, whoa, now I know what pastor listens to. What person in their right mind gets up in the morning and sees their hair all a mess and their makeup everywhere and just all distorted, and then they're like, huh, look at that. And then walks out of the house, I'm gonna go to the store, I'm gonna go around town, I'm gonna go do this and whatever. And the Bible says in verse 24, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. This is a person who hears the Word of God and doesn't do it. The Word of God exposes them for who they are. The Word of God shows them their condemnation before God. The Word of God shows them the judgment and the danger that they're in. The Word of God shows them how you can build a life on a good foundation, but oh, I don't need that. And he goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man he was. Both of these individuals in our text, they had access to the same building materials. They were both building houses, but one was wise because he did and applied the words of the Lord. The other was foolish. And he built his house on sand because he didn't do and didn't follow, didn't obey. He ignored the words of God. And he's called a fool. We'll get back to James 1 later on. Another thing that these two individuals had in common back in our text in Matthew chapter 7 is that both of these individuals seem to have built in the very same location or in close proximity, because verse 25 tells us, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Verse 27, and the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. They seemed to be building in the same proximity, the same location, because there was a severe storm that came along and that storm affected both houses. So they must have been in close proximity to one another. And basically, what this is illustrating for us, in other words, is that these individuals face very similar circumstances in life. They face the trials. They face the tests. They face afflictions. They face troubles. They face difficulties and hardships that come upon mankind through life. We're building this house of our life, and we face very similar circumstances. And the picture here is of people who are pretty much in the same boat. They all have access to the same building materials. They're all building something, and they all experience similar circumstances. A picture of people who are pretty much in the same boat, all building a life, all have access to the blueprints and the instructions that will guide to the right result. They all face difficulty and trouble in life. Someone might say, well, that's not exactly true. There are people who don't seem to have any kind of trouble. You know what Job 14:1 says? What is man, or a man that is born of woman? He's of a few days and full of trouble. That's the nature of mankind. That is the course of life. There are a whole lot of similarities here between these two individuals. But even with all of these commonalities, not all life stories turn out the same, do they? Why? Well, I want you to consider with me the contrasts. We've seen that everybody's building a life. We're all responsible for our own life. We have the blueprints and instruction to get us to the right result. We all face trials and difficulties and struggles and hardships and heartache even at times. We all face similar circumstances, but not every life story turns out the same. Why? Well, consider the contrasts. While there are several similarities, there are some very major differences between these two types of people. And these differences are worth noting. The first is that one man built his house on sand. Verse 26, he shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. One man built his house on a foundation of sand. One man built his house with very little preparation. Maybe he found a spot for his house. Oh, I like the view here. And he begins to build. But he builds it on sand. You know what sand? Sand is unstable. Sand is ever-changing. Sand is always moving. Sand offers no stability. Sand is not a good place to build a house. Sand can never provide a firm foundation. In this context, building on sand speaks of people who hear the word of God but choose not to obey it or to apply it in their life. For some reason, they believe that they can build their lives on the shifting sands of human philosophy, the shifting sands of human opinion, the shifting sands of human wisdom, or some sort of religion. It's all shifting sand. For example, when the truth of God says that salvation is by grace through faith and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. When the Bible says that except a man be born again, a spiritual birth, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When the Bible says that we are under condemnation and without Jesus Christ, we're going to spend eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. When the Bible says that there is no good or righteousness that we have before God that merits favor with God, human philosophy or religion says, well, you know, you have your religion, I have mine. We're all going to the same place. We all have the same God. You know, your way is to get there a little bit different than mine, but we're all going to be okay in the end. That's the shifting sand of human religion. And people choose to build their life on it. What? I don't need to repent of my sin. I believe in Jesus. You know, I was baptized when I was such and such an age. I go to this church. I take communion. I pray prayers. I do all of these things. And you know, surely those are going to find favor with God. But you know what's interesting about that? That is the shifting sand of human religion. You know, remember how I said whenever you see the word therefore, yeah, I got to go back and find out what it's there for? In this very same context, There were people who did that very thing. They stood before God and they said, well, Lord, we did all of these things in your name. We did this, we did that, we believed in you. And what did Jesus say? What did God say? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Why? Because they did not build on the foundation of solid rock. They built on the foundation of human religion. And it's sinking, shifting sand. Look at verse 21 and following of Matthew 7. This is the very same context of the wise builder and the foolish builder. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Listen, not every religion that claims the name of Jesus is going to stand before God. Not every person who claims the name of Jesus is going to stand before God justified. Jesus said it right here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity. What is the reason that Jesus would say that? Because they did not do the will of his Father which is in heaven. They were hearers, but they were not doers. This man in our text builds his house upon sand. And it's speaking of people who hear the word of God but choose not to obey it or to apply it in their life. And they believe they can build their life on the shifting sand of other things, of human wisdom and human achievement and religious achievement and human opinion and philosophy. Listen, salvation is not by works. Salvation is by repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Repentance toward God, what does that mean? It means that I see God and I see His holiness, I see myself, and I see that I've offended God because of my sin, that I'm not a good person, I can't do any good works to merit His favor, I stand in condemnation and judgment before God, I'm sorry for offending you, I change my mind about that, about who I am. Repentance toward God. And faith toward Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for my sin. He shed His blood on the cross. He paid my penalty, the sin debt that I owed, that I could never pay. He paid it with His own blood. I believe that. I receive it. I trust it. Repentance toward God. Faith toward Jesus Christ. Those are the words of God. Let me give you another example. Some people have a profession of faith. Well, they prayed that prayer. They asked Jesus into their heart to save them, if you want to call it that. They prayed the prayer and they've got a profession, but their life has never changed. There's never been a before and an after of their life. They're still the same old person. They still have the same raunchy attitudes. They still have the same bad lifestyle that they live. They still have their secret sin. There's no desire for God in their life. But they've got a profession. Somehow that profession, when they stand before God, is going to be the thing that gets them into heaven. And they build their life on a faulty foundation of a profession on sand. You follow me? Jesus gave so many life-building truths. How about this? When it comes to raising children, human philosophy, we don't want to bruise their little ego. We don't want to hurt their little feelings. We don't want to deprive them. When the kid is acting up and the kid is misbehaving, well, we don't believe in spanking our children because we don't want to hurt them and we don't want to bruise their little ego. And we don't believe in that. There are other ways that we discipline our children. Okay, it's time for a timeout. This drives me crazy. Here's Johnny who's throwing a fit on the floor, in the middle of the store. And mom is so embarrassed because she can't control Johnny. Or at home, he can't have what he wants, so he plops himself down on the floor and he's throwing a fit. Mom says, okay, it's time for a timeout. It's time for a timeout. We need to sit still and be quiet. You know what the Bible says about training and disciplining our children? Turn with me over, to Proverbs chapter 22. Human philosophy is foolishness. The Word of God gives us life-building principles, life-building truths. If we'll seek to obey it, we'll experience the blessing. And you know what the Bible says in Proverbs 22:15? Regarding raising children, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Here's a promise. I'm going to get all worked up here, okay? Here's a promise from God's word. Listen, it's every child. Foolishness is bound in his heart. What is it that straightens it out? What is it that brings calm to his soul? What is it that gives him self-control? The rod of correction, it drives it far from him. Oh, not only that. Oh, it gets much better than that. Go with me over to chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 13. Here, look at the consequence. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. You're not going to hurt him. But what are you going to do? Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Oh, we don't want to hurt little Johnny. We don't believe in spanking, but you know what? If you don't apply the principles of God's word in these life-building truths, the consequences are devastating. His soul could spend eternity in hell. These are just examples, small examples, of life-building truth of God's word. It gives us a solid foundation, but what happens? Well, I don't believe in it. You know what people who say, well, we don't believe in spanking. I don't want to hurt little Johnny. You know what they're really saying? I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to hurt my own feelings. I feel bad when he's hurting. I feel bad when he's crying. You know what they are? They're selfish people who choose to build their life on a foundation of sand rather than on the rock of God's word. They're only thinking about themselves. You know what the Bible also says about a person who spares the rod? They hate their child. They love themselves and they hate their child. This is what the Bible says. I didn't say it. Don't get mad at me. God said it. We have a choice to make. Are we going to build life on the principles of God's word? Or are we going to build life on the foundation of sand? You know what I saw yesterday, last night? This right here. Listen, we are the product of, as a culture, we are the product of what we consume and what we idolize. All right? And the end result of a life that is lived void of the word of God is what we're seeing in our culture right now. I literally saw an adult woman sitting on the ground in a crowd of people throwing a literal fit, screaming and throwing her arms around because Donald Trump is the president of the United States. Listen, she was literally sitting on the floor with all these people around going, "No! No!" like this. I was shocked. I was floored. You're a literal 2-year-old. But you know what? That's the result of a culture who chooses to kick God out, who chooses to live according to their own will, and on the foundation of self and self-will. What time is it? I'm running out of time. You know, Christian people can do the same thing. We're instructed in the scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you. That's a truth from God's word, right? But sometimes saved people, Christian people, don't take that to heart. They don't apply that when it comes to the music that they listen to, the fashion and how they dress, the makeup they wear, the clothing they wear, other areas of their life that are all in accordance with this world. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. The thing that the world promotes and the thing that the world loves, it's an abomination to the Lord. And God said, be separate from this world. Worldly Christians are building their house on a foundation of sand. They're not wise, they're fools. People who build on the sand hear the word of God. They know we're the word of God, but they choose to follow their own terms. To them, the word of God is open to interpretation. If he commands something, and they'll view it as a suggestion instead of a command to justify their actions and to justify self. And they build the house of their lives on self-will and self-fulfillment and self-sufficiency and self-satisfaction and self-righteousness. Paul describes that kind of a person, 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Here's the principle. I mean, if hearing does not affect the acting, it's profitless. Hearers only are fools. That's why James 1:22 says, "Be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only." Go back to James 1 quickly. Let me move through this. Stay with me. James 1 and verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." What happens? Deceiving your own selves. You skip down to verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," that's the word of God, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." Wow, what a promise. You see it? Hearer who's not a doer is a fool. But a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. One man, here we're talking about the differences. One man built his house on sand, but the other man built his house upon the rock. Go back to our text there in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, look at verse 24, the second part of verse 24. "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." The word rock here refers to a large outcropping of rock, or it refers to bedrock. While one man built his house on the sand, the other one dug deep. He dug until he reached bedrock, and that is where he built his house, upon that rock. You know what? A rock like that doesn't move. It's unchanging. It's stable. A rock offers a good foundation for a house. The word rock in these verses is identified as these sayings of mine. Jesus said, "Whoever heareth and doeth these sayings of mine builds his house on a rock." Building on the rock speaks of people who hear the word of God and believe it, and begin to build their life on it. Interestingly as well, the rock in verse 24 is the exact same word that is translated as rock in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, in which Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." In that passage, the rock refers to Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In other words, it refers to Jesus himself, the rock. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. 1 Peter 2, 8 says, "A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Here he says Jesus Christ is a rock of offense. He's a rock of stumbling. Only to who? To those who stumble at the word. What are we talking about? That is the foundation, that is a solid rock. These sayings of mine, of who? Jesus. Jesus Christ and his word is the rock, the foundation upon which life should be built. Rock builders, listen, rock builders understand that Jesus alone has the power to save a soul. Rock builders hear his word and they conform their lives to it. They hear what the Bible says about Jesus, that he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Listen, that word comes into their heart with absolute clarity. They hear the truth about Jesus. They believe it. They embrace it. They yield to it. The message of Jesus Christ and the truth, the life-building truth, changes their lives. That is a rock builder. What God tells them to do in his word, they do. What God warns them not to do, they avoid. Rock builders hear the word of God and make it the foundation for their life. The question is not, am I a builder? Everyone's a builder. The question is, what am I building on? The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. One of these houses describes the kind of life that you're building right now. Every person is building a life for now and also for eternity. And it's either on a foundation of rock or it's on a foundation of sand. The rock is Jesus Christ. The sand is anything but Jesus Christ. Let's consider quickly and lastly the consequences. We saw the commonalities. We see the contrasts. But consider the consequences. Go back to our text in Matthew 5. Matthew 7, and look at verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This parable tells us that the rains came, the floods followed, the winds of destruction blew. And the image, the image that's being created here is not just storms in life. This is actually an image of judgment. In the end, both of these houses were subjected to the terrible storm of judgment. One house stood, but the other one was totally destroyed. The house that was built on sand couldn't face the withering judgment of God, and it fell. Jesus said then, and great was the fall of it. That means the house was utterly and completely destroyed. There was nothing left to show for the life that lived within it. There was nothing left of the hopes and the dreams, the plans, the efforts, the works, or anything else. Everything was destroyed. Everything was swept away as if it had never existed. Let me make this application here. This is a picture of what will happen to every person who builds their life on anything but Jesus Christ and the gospel. There's not going to be anything left of the dreams and the plans and the efforts. That life is going to fall, and great will be the fall of it. Listen, there's coming a day of judgment, my friend. There's coming a day when every person will face God. People who are trusting in religion, people who are trusting in some good work, people who are trusting in some prayer that they prayed, some emotional experience that they had, some profession that they made, or anything else, they're going to see the house that they've built crumble and fall before the judgment of God. We read there in verse 24 where Jesus said, therefore. So we go back and find out what it's there for. And we read how that verse, this parable, ties into those who said, Lord, Lord, we've done all of these things. But their house crumbled. Those people faced God with all their works and their self-righteousness and their deeds, and they were cast out of his presence. You know the house that's built on a rock, though? It experiences the same storm. The rain, the flood, the wind. The Bible says it beat upon that house. The word beat means to strike or to batter. This house was battered, but it stood against the storm that was thrown against it. Again, this house stood because it was built on the foundation of the Word of God and Jesus Christ. Everybody in this room is building a spiritual house. And every day, you attach boards. Every day you drive nails. Every day you add rooms and try to improve your house. Regardless of what you do to the house that you are building, what matters the most is the foundation. Before a house of safety can be built, the rock, Christ Jesus, needs to be found. Be sure you're building on Jesus Christ and on His Word. It's not okay for us to pick and choose which parts of God's words we want to embrace, which parts we want to heed and obey. Let me just remind you, salvation comes only from knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question in closing. Who or what is the foundation of your life? Who or what are you building on? Are you building your life on the solid rock of Christ, or are you building your life on shifting sand of your own understanding, human wisdom, philosophy, religion? All building is vain and doomed until Jesus Christ is found. The truth of the matter is, there's a storm that's coming. And your house is right in its path. When that storm comes, the only houses that will stand are those houses that are built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and His Word. That rock, that solid foundation, it's available to everyone. It's within the reach of everyone. It simply depends on the choices that you make. To be a hearer only, or to be a doer of the Word of God? Are you building your family on the truth of God's Word? Dad, is your life in line with the truth of God's Word? Are you building your family on it? Soul, are you building your future, your eternity, on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock? Or are you trusting in some shifting sand of religion? It depends on the choices that we make regarding Jesus' words. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is a wise builder. But he that heareth them and doeth them not is a fool who's going to experience a great fall. Let's be sure we're building on Jesus Christ and His Word. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray that You'd use these truths and principles in our hearts today. Lord, I pray for those among us who may not be saved. They're building their life on the shifting sand of religion, trusting in some good work or some experience they had. And they've been unwilling to see themselves as who they really are, put their faith and trust in Christ and repent of their sin. Lord, I pray that you'd show them the faulty foundation that they're building on and the greatness of the fall of their life in eternity. Lord, I pray today for saints of God who hear the words of God, but they don't apply them in their life. They don't build their life on them. They're picking and choosing which parts to believe and obey, and they're trusting and leaning on their own understanding or their self-will in other areas of life, expecting that things are all going to turn out just fine. Father, may they see the importance of the matter of the foundation of their life and the great fall that comes in a life that's not built on the Word of God. However you would lead today, Lord, I pray that you'd accomplish your purpose in each heart. In Jesus' name, amen.